Everybody wants to know what's wrong with the Memphis Grizzlies. Three consecutive losses on the road, two crushing losses, and one that, you know, just got out of hand. But guess what? I'm here to tell you, calm down. Calm down. Everything will be fine. We got John Moran and Steven Adams up there. We're going to talk a little bit about Shannon Sharp. And more importantly, we're going to talk about the Grizzlies and where they stand right now. Stay tuned for all that coming up right here, right now on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am DeMichael Cole, the beat writer for the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, Tennessee, traveling on the road right now, coming to you from San Francisco a day ahead of the matchup against the Golden State Warriors. But we're not going to talk about that on today. We got a bunch of other things to talk about, including, you know, John Moran and Steven Adams missed the last game against the Kings, the 133-1. 100 loss, 33-point loss for the Grizzlies. We're going to talk about that. I was in L.A. at the Crypto.com Arena when the Shannon Sharp situation came, you know, about, and he did issue an apology. I'm going to touch on that a little bit as well, not too long, because we're here. We got to talk about what's going on with the basketball team, man. So, of course, we're going to talk about the three straight losses, just the issues right now. I've been in the locker room, just the feeling inside of the locker room. But before we talk to that, we got to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Just visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. On to get started. All you have to do is place your first $5 bet and you can get $150 in free bets. Win or lose, FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you just continue to listen to us everywhere. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're everywhere just like the air. So make sure you remember that as well. But before we get into the game coverage, we're going to talk about the Kings game, and we're going to talk about it extensively, and we're going to talk about the Grizzlies and just this road trip. I've been out here the entire time, and I think this is my first time of talking to you since some game results have been, you know, taking place, so I can just talk to you, give you an idea of what the feeling is like around the team at this point. But before we get there, we'll touch on John Moran and Steven Adams a little bit. I don't have two firm updates. We will have those later, closer to the game and, you know, ahead of tomorrow's episode as well. But the main thing here is John Moran and Steven Adams missed the last game against the Sacramento Kings. Ja left ankle soreness. We have seen, you know, that's kind of been the one thing that's kind of kept him out of action for, you know, the eight games that he's missed this season. Steven Adams, on the other hand, missed his fifth game of the season. Right knee soreness is what it was classified as for him. Just, you know, this is just off of the eye test. You know, we'll get better detail ahead of tomorrow's episode. But just seeing the guys, I think John Morant probably is a little bit closer. And Steven Adams did, when I saw him, had like a slight limp. Nothing, you know, overly dramatic or anything. But it was something that you noticed while he was walking. So with that being said, personally, I would suspect that probably Ja is a little bit closer. Both of those guys were hurt late in the game against the Phoenix Suns. I think Ja's injury happened a little bit earlier in the fourth quarter, whereas with Steven Adams, if you remember, I'm not sure what the TV broadcast showed, but just being there after the game result was decided, Steven Adams did lay over there after he and Dylan Brooks trapped Cameron Johnson of the Suns in the corner, tried to get the ball and all of that. Steven Adams, you know, laid on the court for a bit before teammates came and helped him up, had a slight limp as he walked off. So I figured he'd be on the injury report. But another thing is, you know, Taylor Jenkins has been, I guess, more open with how the Grizzlies are handling injuries this year, just from my perspective of what I'm seeing in the conversations I'm having with him and all of that. I asked him before yesterday's game against the Kings. I asked Taylor Jenkins, are the Grizzlies being more careful? Like, in terms of, are they trying to make sure guys are better for the long haul? If you remember last season, the Grizzlies were full speed ahead, right? Everything was brand new. The franchise record was important. Trying to get the top seed, chase down the Suns, holding off other competition for the number two seed. All of that was important because it was new to this team. But then in reality, when you look back on it, the Grizzlies in the playoffs, right? You look at Ja Morant gets hurt, misses the last couple games of that Golden State series. Desmond Bane's battling, back injury throughout, that series against Golden State, and just, was a shell of himself in a way. Memphis wants to avoid that. That is important to them. And again, going back to the conversation with Taylor, he was telling me basically that the Grizzlies are kind of in this thing for all the long haul right now. And here's part of the quote, that he said to me. I'll read it out loud here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. He said, one of our biggest takeaways when we talked at the end of last season is we don't want anything to grow from a minor day-to-day thing to a 2 to 4 week period that we're constantly having to manage. Guys across the league are going to be sore from the start of the season. You're never 100%. You understand that, but we don't want anything to manifest into a long-term injury. So I think that best sums it up right there. It's right out of Taylor Jenkins' mouth when I was talking to him yesterday. And basically what he's saying is when guys like Ja have his left ankle soreness pop up or Steven Adams has some right knee soreness, the Grizzlies are going to be extra careful. They're going to be careful. They're going to monitor this, and they're going to make sure that their guys are okay for the long haul, because at the end of the day, miss a game here or there at a – it's big in the realm of long-term realm of things, but it is not as important as having guys, in April when it's showtime. As we saw Golden State, I mean, I know this isn't, the Locked On Warriors podcast or anything, and people on here aren't the biggest fans of Golden State Warriors, but you got to give respect where it's due. And one thing that I noticed about Golden State last season was, Draymond, they were resting him a little bit. Steph Curry, they took their precious time. You remember that first round series I think they had against the Nuggets? Steph Curry came off the bench like the first couple games because they basically made sure he got completely healthy throughout the end of the regular season and he wasn't playing. And same thing, with guys like Klay Thompson, taking their time with him and so forth. So I think there was something definitely that Memphis could learn from that situation, and that's having your best players be the most available when it's time for the playoffs. Because this is one of those teams that you can almost pencil in, as a playoff type team, at this point. But we started this off talking about Morant and Adams, and we're going to touch on this just a little bit. The Shannon Sharpe apology that was issued on yesterday on, his show with Skip Bayless, the Undisputed, figured that was coming. And I thought it was a sincere apology from Shannon Sharpe. He hit on a bunch of things. He apologized to the right people. I know, there's going to be some people that probably forever have some animosity towards him and Memphis and whatnot, but I think it was a sincere thing. Salute to Shannon Sharpe for doing that. But just in regards to the situation, I'm pretty sure many of you saw his comments, directly after, the situation to ESPN, where he said that he and, Dylan Brooks exchanged, a little couple verbal words towards each other that we can't say on the Locked On air. And then everything went from there. And just from my perspective, I can say I'm not sure exactly what was said between those two, but that's kind of how it started, right? Shannon Sharpe is a big LeBron James fan, and LeBron James was posting up Dylan Brooks and Shannon Sharpe sitting courtside right in front of them. You can see him just doing his Shannon Sharpe down south country boy, right? So he's doing his, old talking. He's talking pretty loud. Dylan Brooks runs back on the other end of the court. The cameras don't catch this, but Dylan Brooks is staring at Shannon Sharpe as he goes back on the other side of the court. And, I'm sure they exchange a couple words at that point. And then if you read my story on commercialappeal.com, you saw that I put Ja Morant's name in my headline because what we saw was Ja Morant was the first player. Like Dylan Brooks, this happened towards the end of the halftime, end of the first half. Dylan Brooks was talking to Shannon Sharpe, but he was walking towards the locker room. Ja Morant actually stopped, looked in the direction of Shannon Sharpe and, you know, said a couple words to him. Shannon Sharpe said some things back. And then Steven Adams stepped in front of Ja, and that's where everybody probably saw the viral video of everything that went on. But just wanted to touch on that. You know, like T. Morant, Ja Morant's father said, all is good there. Shannon apologized, and that's that. I think we move on from it. I think it is, you know, another example of this narrative that the Grizzlies have gained in terms of, you know, they like to talk. So I think Shannon, you know, took it on himself to say, hey, you know, they like to talk. Let's see. You know, he's like tried to call their bluff a little bit. Talked back to him, and Dylan talked back to him, and it went from there. So all things considered, just, you know, I think it's just, you know, fun, verbal, you know, jabs that many of us have seen, you know, on basketball floors many times before. But enough of that. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's going on with the Grizzlies, in particular this game against the Sacramento Kings. This was a game we expected the Grizzlies to play well in, but they did not do that. So we're going to talk about that coming up after the break. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about FanDuel, because the thing about FanDuel is the NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited at Locked On. We're excited to introduce you to our new bets, our new sports betting partner for the Locked On podcast, and that is the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. I know some of you text me and reach out about FanDuel. Hey, should I use this guy? Should I do that? Or how should I, should I take the over here? Should I take the under? If you're new, we got an even better deal for you. So many great features that is making the betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to the point spread to the player odds. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. The same game parlay comes in hand all the time, and it's all on in the app. So it's safe, secure, super easy, and safe withdrawals. So look, football fans, especially you football fans, don't miss out. Go place your first $5 bet on FanDuel right now. You can get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And again, that's at FanDuel.com. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the Grizzlies and this last game against the Sacramento Kings. Well, it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. It was pretty if you like seeing three-pointers, at least. The Grizzlies gave up 22 three-pointers against the Sacramento Kings in their 133-100 loss on the road for the third consecutive loss. And here's the thing. Sacramento, I mean, personally, I haven't seen a team shoot the basketball like that. Sacramento came out, made its first 10 three-pointers of the game. And it wasn't De'Aaron Fox. It wasn't the sharp-shooting Kevin Herter. It wasn't your all-star forward and Domantas Sabonis. It was Harrison Barnes, Trey Lyles coming off the bench, the rookie, Keegan Murray. These are the guys, Trey Lyles, Keegan Murray, and Harrison Barnes each made more than five three-pointers against the Grizzlies. Each made at least five three-pointers. That's not the guys you – I mean, Keegan Murray, nice shooter. Harrison Barnes has been, you know, on a hot stretch lately. Trey Lyles, I think this was one of his biggest games of the season, probably one of the biggest games of his career with the way he played, you know, against the Grizzlies. And just talking to some of the Grizzlies players after the game, it felt like they weathered that storm, that first storm against Sacramento. The Grizzlies went down by as many as 16 in the first half as Sacramento. I mean, they hit 12 out of 13 three-pointers in the first quarter. 12 three-pointers ties the NBA record for most 3-pointers made, you know, in a quarter. And all that, Grizzlies were down, I think, 14. It was 47-33 game. And by the end of the second quarter, by halftime, the Grizzlies were down 5. So they clawed their ways back in the game. And then by an early point of the third quarter, I think it was around the 9-minute mark, 8.5 minutes, the Grizzlies took the lead. But as soon as Memphis took the lead, those boys started shooting again. So what was the issue? Of course, there's the big issue, right, that we're going to talk about in our next segment, particularly with the three-point defense. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. But the thing I want to talk to you about is what the players pretty much told me after the game. And one thing I asked them was, what's your mindset while you're going through this? You know, this team's hitting three-pointer after three-pointer. Harrison Barnes hits his first 5 3-pointers. Keegan Murray makes his first 3. They miss one, and then they hit 2 more. So they close the quarter 12 of 13 on threes. What's the mindset? And Dylan Brooks is like, you just got to get through it. You just got to get through it. And then I talked to Dylan Brooks. I talked to Tyus Jones. I talked to Brandon Clark. And they all had something similar to say, you know, about the whole back-to-back thing. Now, this isn't your typical thing I'm about to say. We know, you know, when teams are on the back-to-back, they're a little bit tired, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm about to say that. But it was interesting the way I think it was phrased to me, you know, by the Grizzlies players and just, you know, through conversation was that, look at it like this. Think of it as, I'm sure some of you are baseball fans on here. So in baseball, you have pitchers. They throw the baseball throughout the course of the game, and you have what we call a pitch count, right? Most pitchers, depending on age, you want them to throw between 70, 80, 90 pitches. Well, in baseball, there's what we call high-stress pitches and low-stress pitches. High-stress pitches is when you're pitching around traffic. There are guys on. Big hitters are coming up, and you're throwing more balls than strikes. And you're getting in situations that cause stress. So basically what I'm saying here is 70 high-stress pitches is probably, you know, worse than 80 low-stress pitches. It's not the same thing. So translating that over to the basketball conversation here, the Grizzlies over the past couple games have been involved in a lot of high-stress minutes. And I'm saying that because if you go to this back to the Suns game, the Grizzlies spent most of that game. I mean, they trailed by as many as 29 points before getting within 2 in the last minute. The Grizzlies spent that entire game chasing down the Suns, scoring fast, getting rebounds, moving up the court really fast, trying to hurry up and get back in the game, trapping, doing all these things, you know, to create havoc. Spent so much time getting back into the game that when they, you know, got back into the game, they lost, but they spent a lot of time getting back into that game against the Suns. Then, turn around against the Kings, same thing. Slow start. Kings make 12 threes in the first quarter, 47-33. You spend a lot of time in that second quarter chasing them down. Finally take the lead in the third quarter. Then the Kings hit you for another run. Now you're going into the fourth quarter, and suddenly the Grizzlies are back down 10. And you know what? They said they just ran out of gas at that point. They spent a lot of time chasing this team down and chasing them. And just a minute, you're running behind them, you catch up. And you finally catch up and they pull away again. And you say, okay, I'll catch them again. Then you catch them again and they pull away again. And at that point, it's just like, look, man, we can't do nothing about this. And that's kind of just the feeling I got. You know, the Grizzlies players, you know, they're talking about, you know, their legs, you know, trying to make that final push. And at the end of the day, too, as Dylan Brooks told me, they weren't it wasn't an excuse, because Dylan Brooks said, look, we got to find a way. Back to back, all that stuff. Yeah. We still got to find a way. So I think that's, you know, a big reason why, you know, that game played out how it did, in terms of it was a 133-100 final. The final was uglier probably than the game that we saw, because the Grizzlies were down, I think at one point it was 103-96, which is basically Sacramento closing the game on a 30-4 run, it's because he ran out of legs. They got tired. They constantly have to keep fighting back. Now, it's a whole other conversation. They should be putting themselves in those positions to have to fight back. And that's what we're going to touch on in this next segment coming up. So that's our next topic. We're going to talk about why the Memphis Grizzlies are struggling on the road right now. And what are the issues? What are the issues that we should point out? We're going to talk about that right now coming up on Locked On Grizzlies next segment. Stay tuned for that. You know what? There are some misconceptions, I think, when it comes to the Grizzlies and their role play. Two things can be true at once type of thing. Let's start with the most obvious truth, the one that we all know. The Grizzlies are struggling on the road. Taylor Jenkins is trying hard to figure it out. I don't want to over-exaggerate here, but I will budget to say that with Taylor, him trying to figure out the road issues is probably, when we talk about it, it's probably one of the most puzzling responses I get from him. And when I say puzzling responses, it's more of like, it's one of those things he doesn't really have the answer to yet. Taylor Jenkins has a lot of answers. When the team isn't shooting well, when they're, you know, not playing up to their standard on defense, and everything in between, just from schematically. Taylor Jenkins has a lot of answers. But to what's happening on the road as compared to what's happening at home, he's still trying to figure it out. So that is the first truth. The Grizzlies are struggling on the road. That's the one that you're familiar with. That's the one that we all know. The second is my personal opinion, and I think, quite frankly, it's a very strong one, and it's the truth, but it's opinion. The parity in the Western Conference is part of why the Grizzlies are struggling, and quite frankly, just about every team in the Western Conference is struggling on the road. Right now, we're going to get more into the Grizzlies' specific struggles in a second, but I want to kind of ease your minds a little bit before we get into the Grizzlies stuff, so you won't, you know, catch yourself breathing hard and huffing and puffing when we talk about the Grizzlies' numbers, because they are pretty on the road. Thanks, trust me, we'll get to that part, but they are not pretty. But before that, remember this. Did you know that right now, the Grizzlies have the fourth best road record in the Western Conference? Fourth best road record in the Western Conference. Ahead of this three-game losing streak, second best road record in the Western Conference. Ahead of this game, this last loss against the Kings, seventh best road record in the entire NBA. But this isn't about the entire NBA, because over in the Eastern Conference right now, you have five teams who are 500 or better on the road. It is different in the West. Only two teams are over 500 in the Western Conference right now on the road, the Denver Nuggets and the Sacramento Kings. And the thing about it is, yeah, they're over 500, but barely. Barely. Sacramento, I think, is one game over 500. And I think Denver's one game over 500, excuse me. And Sacramento may be two games over 500. One of the two, I'm going to sort that out real quick here. I think it is, let's see, it's Sacramento is... Yep, Sacramento is two games over 500 on the road, and Denver is one game over 500 on the road. Everyone else is under. And when I say under, I'm talking about really good teams struggling. Grizzlies, 11 and 13, I'm sorry, on the road. Pelicans, 9 and 15. That's your four seed. Dallas Mavericks, your fifth seed, 8 and 15 on the road. Six-seeded Los Angeles Clippers, 12 and 13 on the road. Seven-seeded Suns, 7 and 17 on the road. Eight-seeded Jazz, 9 and 16 on the road. Going down to Minnesota Timberwolves, 8 and 15. Golden State Warriors, 6 and 18 on the road. And there's your top 10 in the West. Those are your play-in and playoff contenders right now. No one is playing great on the road in the Western Conference. And the simple reason is, all you have to do is go point to the home records of all these teams. Check this out. The top 13 teams in the Western Conference the top 13 teams in the Western Conference are all over 500 at home. The top 13 teams. It's a comparable, you know, it's comparable, I guess you could say, in the East. In the East, you have 12 of 13. I think the New York Knicks are the one team who is, you know, the seventh seed, but they are 11 and 13 at home over there. But it's a little bit different in the West simply because this, we're talking about the Grizzlies, right? This is Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And it's this simple. You look at the Grizzlies being 11 and 13 on the road, they are 5 and 11 against the Western Conference on the road. Against the East on the road, there are no issues. These road issues don't pertain to the East. The Grizzlies are 6 and 2 when they play the Eastern Conference on the road. To me, I'm in the media. I can take the more big picture look. I'm sure fans as well. You like to take the more big picture look sometimes than, you know, a coach or a player. And, you know, I was talking to Taylor Jenkins about it a little bit. He didn't really want to take the big picture look because the big picture look is home court is important in the Western Conference this year. I know, you know, we're talking about resting guys and saving them for the long haul. But in that, when you do that, you're basically saying, hey, we don't care about seeding. We just want to be as healthy as possible, and we feel like we can beat anybody. I think, you know, that's a good mindset to have. But we're being honest, man. I was in the Golden One Center yesterday with the Sacramento Kings. No one wants to go there four times. No one's trying to go in Denver's altitude four times. No one wants to go down, you know, to Dallas at American Airlines four times. No one wants to come to Memphis and hear whoop that trick and all that four times. The West is brutal. Now getting back towards the point, you know, with the Grizzlies, because at the end of the day, that's who you care about the most. That's who I care to talk about the most in terms of the struggles on the West. So you should go check out my story as well on commercialappeal.com where I wrote about it, why the Memphis Grizzlies are struggling on the road. And there are a lot of takeaways, you know, that I learned from that. But one thing stood out to me above the rest, and that was entering Sunday's game against the Suns. The Grizzlies were averaging 120 points at home, 115 on the road. But just because the Grizzlies are averaging more points at home and less on the road doesn't mean, hey, the offense is better at home, the offense is worse on the road. If you know how the Grizzlies play, it's not usually how it goes. The Grizzlies are a defense to offense type team because what happens with the Grizzlies is you miss, they run transition points. They're top two, top three in the NBA in transition scoring, and they are middle of the pack. I think they're 20th, 21st in the NBA right now in half court, you know, offensive efficiency. So they want to get out and run, and they can't do that taking the ball out the net. So the thing is, when a team shoots like Sacramento did, 22 of 40 on three-pointers, the Grizzlies are taking the ball out of the net and taking it out of the net. And now they're playing half-court offense. Half-court offense is not something that's a strength of this team already. But when you take arguably, you know, well, I don't even think it's arguably. Try to play it safe there. But when you take your best half-court player out of the offense and John Morant, your guy who can go one-on-one and get you a bucket, then the half-court offense becomes even tougher to come by. Then you take out Steven Adams in this game and you miss the rebounding and just his overall impact, and it's even tougher. So the points different is noticeable. But then there's this. Opponents average 108 points per game at FedEx Forum. That number jumps to 115 when they're playing the Grizzlies on the road. Then there's the three-point defense, right? That's everybody's favorite thing kind of to talk about right now from the fan perspective. When you talk to Taylor Jenkins, when you talk to the players, it's transition defense for them. They are stuck on transition defense. So you got to prevent easy scoring opportunities Whereas with the fans, it's more of the three-point shooting defense. So I pointed out the three-point numbers because that's what you want to know. And check it out. Opponents shooting 33% on three-pointers in Memphis compared to 37% on their home floors. And guess what? Newsflash, that number's probably gone up now after Sacramento just went 22 of 40 on their home floor. So the thing is, the Grizzlies, you know, the three-point defense isn't a strength right now, but I think with the way the Grizzlies play defense, right, they're, again, we talked about this going into the Lakers game, they are top three in the NBA in paint point prevention. They're not letting you score the easy baskets. So when you're taking away the paint like the Grizzlies are, yeah, give up something. It's too much space on the NBA court. And, you know, I don't think they're a bad, you know, defensive three-point percentage team. I think last I checked, they were 11th or 12th. So still, you know, upper half of the NBA. But overall, that drop-off, that 11 to 12 drop-off is down compared to where the Grizzlies are in steals and blocks, you know, and points per game allowed, paint points allowed, and all these other stats where defensively, you know, defensive rating, all these things, they're top five in the NBA yet. But they're not top five in this. So it's something we'll continue to monitor. And you know what? Upcoming game against the Golden State Warriors is another big chance to monitor how the Grizzlies can improve in that area. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Well, we'll talk about that on tomorrow, excuse me. Tomorrow's episode, Locked On Grizzlies, is going to be back with my partner, Joe Mullinax. We'll break down this upcoming game against the Golden State Warriors, a big one here in Grizzlies Nation. But thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies, and thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. Now make your second listen to Game podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game across the NBA, every game across the Western Conference with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Make sure you go follow Game to Game on Locked On podcast. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. I'm out here in San Francisco today. I'm going to get me a chill day in. The Grizzlies are off, so guess what? That means I'm off. So I'm going to chill today and get some relaxed time. Then we'll be back at it tomorrow. Game against the Golden State Warriors. We'll break it all down on the next episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Until next time, I'm DeMichael Cole. See you next time on Locked On Grizzlies.